God, we thank you this day that we come to you in the name of Jesus, a name that is above every other name. We thank you for the name of Jesus because it gives us access to you, because you paved the way, because you're a good, good Father. This morning, Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts so that we can receive your love and your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. God, that we can be inspired to be different. We can be inspired to do something for you. We can hear your word, God, and take it with us and not allow the cares of the world to take it away, but we can act upon what we hear in order to bring you glory. We thank you this morning, God, and we honor you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, the scripture is going to come out of Luke chapter 15. Verse 20, Luke chapter 15, verse 20. Most people are very, very familiar with this, these passages I'm going to read. A lot of people will call it the prodigal son. I actually believe it probably could be better titled the father showing mercy, the father showing love, or the father showing grace. I want to talk about this morning that it's not enough to stop at salvation. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not enough to stop at that experience that we've had with God and say, okay, now I'm saved and that's it. I believe salvation is the most important thing, but I believe one of the greatest lies the enemy has and will tell us is that's all there is. He doesn't want us to experience the victory that we can have in Jesus. He doesn't want us to experience the things that God has planned for us. And some of those things are that God wants us to live a lifestyle that's different from other people in a way that we can, it can be attractive to other people. Because if my life looks just like somebody's that doesn't have a relationship with God, then what's so attractive about it? Why would somebody want to get to know my Jesus if I don't show them that there's a better way, if I don't have more hope, if I don't have more love and able to forgive faster? If I don't have these things, then it's not attractive to people. And I believe that we stop at salvation because it's easy. I believe we stop at salvation because sometimes we believe, okay, I've gone as far as I can go, but I have good news for us this morning that there's always more with God. God is a God that can give and give and give, and if you want some more, he'll give you some more. And I honor God for that. So what I want to talk about this morning is Luke chapter 15, verse 20. This is where you have the two sons. The one son, he stayed with his dad. He's been honorable. He stayed with him for many, many years. But you have the one son that said, hey, listen, give me my inheritance. I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you've died, Dad. I don't want to, put in all the hard work in order to receive it. I want it now, now, now. And the Bible says that he goes and he squanders it on reckless living. No doubt he spent it on women. He spent it on partying. He spent it on countless many things that just didn't bring him the satisfaction that he was looking for. And I don't know how many of us this morning can attest to that, but I know I probably tried every drug on planet Earth and it never brought me the satisfaction like I have in God. I know I've tried with women or to either, put my faith in anything but God, and it didn't bring me that wholeness that was on the inside of me. It didn't fill that empty void that was on the inside of me. But when I got a relationship with God, was I perfect? Absolutely. Still not perfect. But he did feel something on the inside of me. So this child, he's went out and he spent all his money. And the Bible says that when he's feeding the pigs, he's literally at his lowest point in his life, that the Bible says that he comes to himself and he realizes, listen, I'd be better off at home with my dad. I may not be in the position of a son anymore, but even my dad's servants get treated better than I'm getting treated right now. So the Bible says that he starts back home, and that's where I want to pick up in Luke chapter 15, verse 20. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want us to pay close attention here. When this son had squandered everything that the dad had given him, he had given him riches, he had given him gold, silver, there's everything in abundance. The first thing that the father had or experienced with the son when he was coming back to him was, the Bible says that he had compassion on him and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I believe that this is a great sign of salvation. When we have salvation with God, or our experience when we come back to God, we've tried everything that we know to do to try to get joy. We've tried everything that we know to do to try to fill the void that's on the inside of us. We've talked about everybody. We've lied. We've stolen. We've used drugs. We've backslided. We've done everything that we know to do. But when we come back to God, the first thing I believe God wants to show us this morning is that the Father saw the Son when he was a long way off. I've read that scripture hundreds, if not thousands of times, and I never saw and never understood until this morning that the only way that the Father could have saw the Son when he was a long way off is that the Father was looking for the Son. The father had hoped that his son would come home again. The father knew that there was a chance, might have been a small chance, that, listen, I've experienced the world, I've lived it, I know that the world brings pain and trouble and tribulation, so there's a chance that my son will come home again. And the Bible says that the father saw the son when he was a long way off. How many of us this morning can testify that we thank God that God saw us when we were a long way off? I can tell you this morning that when I came back to God, I thank God that he didn't remind me of all the things I did wrong. He didn't remind me of how I lied or how I promised to do this if he would do this. He didn't remind me of how many times I put contingencies on me saying, God, if you'll get me out of this situation, then I promise to do this. Right when I went back to God, he saw me when I was a far way off. And the first thing he did was embrace me with his love. What can we learn from this, brothers and sisters, this morning? That when people come back to God, when people come back to us that might have done us wrong, or we may have done them wrong, the very first thing that I believe they need to experience is the love of God. The Bible says that it is love that covers a multitude of sin. Love is the greatest of all. Why does the Bible always talk about love? It's because love, I believe, is the opposite of fear. What stops you and me from going to God a lot of times is we are fearful. We're fearful of being judged. We don't want to go back to our friend or our brother or our mom or dad or cousin, whomever it may be, and say sorry, because we're fearful that we're going to be judged. But in this scripture this morning, I believe God is screaming at us that don't worry about being scared. Don't worry about being judged. Just get back into the presence of the Father. I love how the Bible says that the Father ran and met him. He didn't wait for the Son to get to him. He met him halfway. And the Bible tells us that if we'll go to God, that God is faithful and just to come to us. God will meet us not halfway. God will meet us over halfway. But a lot of times we have to initiate those first steps. After the father falls on the son's neck, the Bible says in verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Notice that it wasn't the father bringing up the sin. It was the son bringing up the sin. It was the son worried about being judged. It was the son worried about being kicked out. It was the son saying he wasn't worthy enough. How many of us this morning feel like when we mess up in our relationship with God that we're not worthy of forgiveness? We're not worthy because, God, I've messed up 120 times this week or 1,020 times today, whatever the number may be. We always tell God how we're not worthy, but I've never heard God tell me how I'm not worthy. Let that sink in this morning. I've never heard God tell me how I'm not worthy, but many times I've told him how I'm not worthy. I've told God, listen, God, I don't deserve this. God, you're too good. But I believe that that's the love of God that captivates us and it holds us. And I believe that's the kind of love that our family and our friends and our enemies, they need to experience that, because I believe when they experience that, that they'll be like the woman at the well, that one experience with Jesus changed her life forever. She didn't have to go to a 10-step program. She didn't have to go to a seminar or whatever it may be. She had a powerful experience with the Savior. And I promise you this morning, if you'll yield to the Spirit of God, if you'll yield to Him and cry out for an experience with Him, that He'll give you that. And that's all you'll ever need for the rest of your life. But He does not stop there. He'll give it to you again the next day and the next day, and He'll take you to greater heights and deeper depths. This morning, the Son is telling the Father, listen, I'm not worthy to be in the family anymore. I've spent everything You've ever given me. I've wasted it all, Father. But the Father's response is the same response that I get from God. And I thank God for that this morning. In verse 22, but the Father said to His servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Verse 23, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be married. Excuse me, and be merry. For this was my son, and he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The first thing that the Father and Son had happened is the Father had hoped that the Son would come back. He had compassion on him. He showed him love. And the very next thing he did, he said, hey, listen, servants, go get a robe and put it on him. Why did the Father want the Son to be covered in a robe? I believe it's to signify to us, until we're covered by the love of God, that our healing process cannot begin. I believe the Son no doubt had scrapes and bruises, and definitely, I believe, open wounds. He had bug bites. I'm sure he had all sorts of pain showing on his body, all sorts of rashes. I believe he was dirty. And the Father said, listen, don't give him a bath first. I want you to cover him first. I believe it's God showing us that, listen, I want you to heal. I want you to know that it doesn't matter how dirty or how you smell or how nasty you are. As long as you'll get into my presence, I'll cover you with my love. The Bible then says that he says, listen, not only put the robe on him, put something on his feet, put some sandals on his feet, because he's not going to have to travel anymore the way he traveled before. And I believe that's God representing to us, saying, listen, the way you used to do things, things that were hard for you, you're not going to have to experience them like that anymore. Those rocks that used to hurt your feet, you're covered by the sandals. Those tribulations you used to have to go through, you don't have to struggle through anymore, because I've got you covered with a robe and I've got your feet covered with sandals. And the very next thing that the Father tells the servants is, listen, go get a ring so I can put it on his hand. I believe the ring signifies authority and honor. Back then, that, you know, they would sign things with the family ring. I believe that the Father wanted the Son to know, listen, not only do I have you covered, but you also have the authority that you once had. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you hear nothing else I say, do not allow the enemy to convince you that because you messed up, because you wasted money, because you wasted time, because you hurt people, or because you've been hurt, do not allow the enemy to tell you that you've lost your authority. The very same authority that you had at the beginning with God is the same authority that you have now. And I believe when God gives us this kind of authority, I believe that He wants us to learn to get more authority. And this morning, I want you to know that God has you covered with His love, but He also has you covered with His authority. And I believe that you should cover your children and your family with that same authority. The Bible says that he that begun a good work in you will not stop it until the day of redemption. That he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The scriptures are full of promises telling you and me that we have the same spirit that raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead on the inside of us. Why are we not showing people that? It's because I believe we don't think we have it. I believe that we don't understand the authority that's been given to us as children of the living God. The same God that created the heavens and the earth, that separated the firmament, that made the animals, that breathed life into Adam, breathed life into Eve. The same God that did those things is the same God that said, listen, I'll give you my spirit and I want you to have my spirit and I want you to have dominion and authority on the earth today. You have authority to rebuke devils. You have authority to rebuke diseases. And you and I shall live in that for the days to come. I believe the reason the church doesn't have that power and that authority is because the enemy attacks it like crazy. Because if we understand who we are in God, then things have to happen. Miracles must manifest. And when those things happen, God gets all the glory. You see, any of y'all can come to either one of my kids or both. You can go to Isabel or Joshua separately or together, and you can tell them as many times as you want to that they can't have this or they can't have that. But if I've told them that they can, you cannot convince them of anything different. They know that because their father has told them yes, and that's all they need to hear. God, make us like those kids this morning. I pray that we could hear yes from you, God, and that when we hear yes from you and that we have that kind of authority, then we can execute on that. This morning, brothers and sisters, I believe God wants to meet us with compassion and love and all these things, but for the sake of time, I want to skip down a few verses. They become married, but then the other son that's done everything the way that he's supposed to. He's worked hard in the field. He's stayed with dad and them, and he's been a son of honor. He's been of good reputation. The Bible says that he hears all the partying going on, and he goes and he sees that his brother's back, and he's happy about it. No, that's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that he goes back, and he sees that his brother who was lost and you know, wasting all the money's back, and he sees the dad and the brother in relationship. He sees the son in forgiveness. He sees the son in the same authority that he's been in, even though he's been doing the right thing all these years. And the Bible says in verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Verse 29, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf. You've killed the fatted calf for him. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that just as love can cover us from a multitude of sins, just as the forgiveness of God can bring us back into the family, there are some things that will keep us away from the love of God. Unforgiveness, no doubt, is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. This brother wasn't willing to forgive his brother for the mistakes that he had. And because he was unwilling to forgive him, he couldn't experience the party. I believe that the brother, because he was jealous, because he had allowed unforgiveness to take root down in his heart, pride had came up. And pride had came up and said, listen, I didn't do this wrong and I didn't do that wrong and I did it the right way and I didn't spend all my money on women and I didn't spend all my money on drugs. And I didn't do the wrong things. I was here with you the whole time, Father. And I love the Father's response. He said, listen, all that I have is yours. But your brother was dead, and now he's brought to life again. He was lost, but now he's found. I believe the Father was saying, listen, don't worry about what he did. Worry about what you can do now. The choice is before you. You either show him grace or you show him unforgiveness. You either show him mercy or you show him pride. You either show him love or you show him a pain and turmoil. The Father was saying, listen, follow after me. The Father was saying, listen, there's a better way, son. All that I have, it's already yours, but there's more to life than finances. There's more to life than riches and gold. There's more than life, and the more to life is communion. It's talking, it's being back with the relationship that you were always intended to be with. He's saying, listen, you have all that I have, but don't miss the best part. Don't miss the family. Don't miss the love. Don't miss the chance to forgive. And I want to encourage you this morning to know one of the greatest things that's before most of us is a chance to forgive. It's a chance to be forgiven. It's a chance to get back in love with the Father. It's a chance to get back into relationship. It's a chance to look a long ways off and see somebody that might have done us wrong and forgive them before they have the chance to ask for forgiveness. It's a chance to show people love before they ask for it. It's a chance to fall on their neck and just say, I love you, man. I love you, sister. I love you, family. I love you and I thank you for everything that you've done. This morning, I believe the Father was showing the Son, listen, don't be caught up in your pride. Don't be caught up in yourself. Don't look at the things that you've done and look at what I've done. Look at how I showed love. Look at how I showed forgiveness. Look at how I showed mercy. In closing this morning, I thank God for this Father that was willing to forgive. I thank God for this Father that didn't give up hope. Because I believe that's God. I believe God, no matter what we've done or will do, is always looking for you and me. And the Bible says very clearly that he'll leave the 99 and go after the one that's astray. And I know a lot of us this morning can testify to the fact of we were that one that ran from the bunch. We were the lost one. We were the one that needed to be redeemed and needed to be forgiven and needed to be loved. So a lot of us maybe have been serving God a long time, but don't allow our relationship with God now to cause us to allow pride to sneak in. Don't allow our relationship with God to allow us to forget what he did for us, because there's many others, I believe, in our past that need that kind of love, that need that kind of forgiveness, that need that kind of compassion. So I encourage you this morning to know that if you're in a situation that you feel like you feel condemned or you feel like you're not worthy or you're not good enough, that I'm there too. I've been there too. But when I go back to God with everything on the inside of me, he never meets me with, yeah, you're right, Alan, you're not good enough. Yeah, you're right, Alan, you've gone too far, or you've went too far astray. He always meets me with, welcome back, son. He always welcomes me with, welcome back, son. Because he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood is enough. Blood is powerful. That blood is all that you and I will ever need. So I encourage you this morning is don't allow the enemy to try to convince you that you're not loved, that you're not covered with forgiveness, that your feet are not shod with the gospel of peace. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that you've gone too far. Let's pray. Father, I honor you this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that Father saw the Son a long way off. And I thank you that you saw us a long way off. And I thank you that every time we come back to you, you meet us with your compassion and love and grace, God. So I pray for my brothers and sisters that will hear this message and end this call, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give them the authority, God. You will allow them to realize the authority that you have invested on the inside of them, to know that they are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus, to know that they are the head and not the tail, that they are victorious in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing in their bodies, healing in their family's bodies, God. I pray for the wayward son or the wayward daughter that you will bring them back into the fold. This morning, God, I thank you more than anything that you allowed us to see your compassion. I thank you that you allow us to see your love. That God, our sin doesn't move you because your love is greater than our sin. I thank you that your love is greater than us, God. I thank you that your love is the greatest of all. So this morning, I pray these things by faith and yield to you. And we honor you, and I thank you for Brother Kevin. God, I thank you for his business, and I pray that you will continue to bless him, Lord. I pray that avenues and doors will be open, Lord God, that they never imagined possible. And I know and I prophesy into that business this morning, God, that the best days are yet to come. We believe these things by faith, and we honor you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.